of David Kester.
Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome. Hour number two of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for this Tuesday night. We have David Castorini, I think, is called in. Pastor, Reverend David Castorini from the Youth Ministries there in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, where we have a live streaming video of the show right now, available on your mobile device as well, your iOS stream right there on your Droid and on your iPhone, Phil TV in HD. And when we say HD, we ain't kidding. We have the beautiful Pacifico, El Pacifico behind us, and we have the beautiful Phil Hendry.
Let's just let that.
All right. So anyway, we've got my mug in front of you. Didn't I have to clean up some business from last? Yes, I just this one piece of business to clean up.
Would you not please? What we're trying to do, and I talked to David Hall about that, and it's one of the things that David Castorini is going to be talking about, is cleaning up the image of the show, Phil, and it's not my business, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when you say cleaning up or we have to wipe up or something, people are taking from that.
Yeah, they're taking like a bowel movement.
I didn't say that, bud. Please.
Wait a second. What are you talking about? I just heard you say that you've got some things to clean up.
When I say it, people are... In other words, I think the words you choose are a bit, and I know David's going to address this.
Reverend Castorini is?
Yes.
All right, well then maybe we ought to just get him on the phone right now.
No, you said you're going to do the story about the knife.
Oh, don't bawl, man, what a baby.
Yeah, okay, bud, you going to start crying?
You said you would.
All right, here it is. U.S. to allow small knives to be carried onto airplanes. You happy now?
You got to read the whole thing.
The Transportation Safety Administration said on Tuesday that travelers can soon bring small pocket knives on board airplanes for the first time since the September 11th attacks, sparking outrage from flight attendants as if the decision would endanger passengers and crew. The TSA said effective April 25th it would allow small knives with blades that are 2.36 inches or less in length and less than 1/2 inch wide. Other items that will be allowed on board again as part of a passenger's carry-on luggage include billiard cues, ski poles, hockey sticks, and lacrosse sticks. I had no idea that they were not allowing lacrosse sticks on board. Had I known that they weren't allowing lacrosse sticks, I would never have taken my collection of lacrosse sticks.
And your hockey sticks.
Right. That I've smuggled aboard so many aircraft. Anyway, the TSA said effective April the 25th, these small knives would be allowed. TSA spokesman David Castellaviter, not any relation to...
Not related to David Castorini.
Right. So he said the decision was made to bring U.S. regulations more in line with International Civil Aviation Organization standards and would also help provide a better experience for travelers. This is part of an overall risk-based security approach, which allows transportation security officers to better focus their efforts on finding higher threat items, such as explosives. And the flight attendants union, and you can understand why they feel this way, because they're at least two of their members, along with two pilots that all of the pilots on board those aircraft on 9/11, and I don't know how many flight attendants were killed by individuals carrying small knives or box cutters. And so the Flight Attendants Union Coalition, representing 90,000 flight attendants from carriers across the country, called the decision a poor and short-sighted decision. As the last line of defense in the cabin and key aviation partners, we believe that these proposed changes will further endanger the lives of all flight attendants and the passengers we work so hard to keep safe and secure. I don't know.
Well, there's an awful lot of complaining from people, and I think it's time that something be loosened up a little bit.
Well, I think that... You know, I often said, you know, when I'm standing in line and I'm taking my shoes off, if you ever actually just observe yourself and just kind of stop and get outside of yourself and look at what you're doing when you're getting into the gate area and you've gone through security and you're taking your shoes off and you're taking off your, you know...
Your pants.
Man, that ain't funny.
Grow up, will you? You're taking off your shoes and your belt and all that stuff. And I remember thinking once, boy, and this is back when Osama was alive, so I guess now it doesn't matter. But I remember thinking, boy, Osama bin Laden, he must be sitting back having the biggest laugh of his life when he looks at all this crazy stuff we have to do as a result of his stuff, his insanity, his madness. taking off shoes, taking off belts, taking this out, you know, getting scanned, you know, standing there so they can take a look at an x-ray of your ass or whatever it is.
Well, I resent that because I know that you like to laugh at these things, but for those of us who are female and we have to go through that body x-ray and you get the occasional lurid stare, and I'm not saying it happens a lot.
You're trying to say that they all think you're hot. You know that isn't true.
You know what, Bud? Why don't you butt out while the button's good? Because if you keep on talking, bad things happen. Now, I'm talking about something I know, and I don't want to listen to you with that slightly deranged babble of yours. I want to finish.
Well, I just think it's wrong.
What's wrong?
You think you're so hot.
I didn't say I think. I'm telling you what people are... Would you tell him to shut up?
Bud...
So that when I stand there in front of the x-ray machine, Mr. Dickman, and I see one of the TSA workers lick his upper lip and give me the lurid stare...
Oh, come on, Margaret.
What do you mean, come on, Mark? What is that supposed to mean?
Are you telling me that you're standing there in the x-ray machine and the guy's just... the guy is so unprofessional that he's like, checking you out and making sure that you see him, give you the lurid look...
I know what I see, and I see the licking of the... It was the same look that Larry King gave... God forgive me, it's the same look that Larry King gave Patsy Ramsey.
Oh, here we go again with that. I can't...
What?
Oh, I can't believe this. Margaret thinks that when the Ramseys were on the Larry King show, Larry King was licking his lips, and she heard a thud against the bottom of the table.
What's that mean?
I think you know what I mean.
What?
I'm not going to go any further, but that's what Margaret claims she heard. All right. Anyway, this is what's going to happen. The U.S. is allowing this stuff. We got David Castorini. Thank you, Bud, for finding this story. It's fantastic. I am now forewarned. And, you know.
Yeah, well, Margaret, if I were you, I wouldn't carry no knives in case the guy wants to check you out on an x-ray machine and get all ooh and stuff like that. That's what you think and everything. What? I didn't do anything.
Well, then tell him to shut up, will you?
Bud, what are you yelling about?
Just said. She's saying that... The guy's licking his lips and looking at her.
What about it?
Then if I was her, I wouldn't carry no knife.
You can carry a knife now. It's legal. Do you understand?
Oh.
God. That was the whole point of the story. You can carry the knife. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. David Castorini from Phoenix, Arizona, on the line with us right now. And, David, good to have you with us. Margaret said to me... that you had something to mention in terms of the way that I am presenting things on the show?
Well, Phil, I first of all, thank you very much for having me on your program from Phoenix, Arizona. A very pleasant good evening to all of you. Bud, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Reverend.
And Robert, how are you?
Very good, Reverend Pastor Rennie. Thank you.
Okay, and Margaret, thank you for having me on the program.
Well, it's Phil's show, but I'm very grateful that you accepted our invitation.
Phil, and how are you, Phil?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Margaret asked me to come on, Phil, and I'm glad that you extended to having me on because she felt that there were some things that I could better address that are happening on your program. And I think you do a great show, and I think you're a very talented man. There's no question about that. And I think you're going to continue to do great broadcasts. But I think there's some things that can help you. The first thing that I think we need to address, Phil, is Margaret mentioned that you said you need to clean up or wipe up something from last hour. Now, I know that what you meant was nothing wrong. I mean, you said you want to clean up or wipe up something that you did in the last hour.
No, what I said in the last hour is we had some business that we needed to, some, if you want to put it this way, loose ends that needed to be tied up, you know?
Well, that is a very good way of putting it. I think that's how you should have put it. Because what happens is, Phil, the way that people are today and the way that people think today, even if you mean the very best of intentions, and you say, well, there's something from last hour that I need to wipe up, the one-track mind that people have is only one way they think of that, and they're thinking of, and it isn't so much that they're thinking of wiping, but it's the back-to-front wipe that Margaret has been mentioning.
There's a big push on now, Phil. I don't know if you know that, to really make young women aware of that.
Aware of what?
Well, I guess, Margaret, you...
Well, the back to front.
There's a big push on now to make young women?
Yes, I think it would be young women. It's certainly, it's not women my age.
There's a big push on to make, well, how old?
I can.
Yeah, go ahead, Reverend.
I think, you know, anywhere from ages 18, you know, from 0 to 18.
From 0 to 18, there's a big push on. What's wrong, Margaret?
What is wrong is you're starting. David, he does this. He goes into this, from 0 to 18, he sounds like a little.
Well, Phil, just let Margaret, you know, let Margaret finish. I think she's got a good point, and then we'll hear you out.
No, wait. Hold on for a minute. There's a big push on, according to Margaret, to inform women ages 0 to 18 to not wipe back to front. Is that what I just heard?
Phil, I would have put it much more delicately than that.
Yes, in essence, yes, but as Reverend Castorini just said, there are better ways of putting it. My God!
Well, yeah, there may be better ways of putting it, but the fact that there's a big push on, are you talking about what, the Surgeon General? Are you talking about public service announcements? Are we talking about a big campaign in radio? Where's the big push, and why am I having to talk about it?
Well, Phil, the reason is it because you have used certain language on your program that Margaret wants the audience to understand is not condoned by people that are advocating to try to get younger women to wipe front to back.
All right, hold on for just a minute here. We're going to take a break because I got to tell you something. I really resent the hell out of this.
And why do you resent public education?
Wait. This is not public education. This is some ridiculous, asinine.
Why do you resent public education?
All right, we're going to be right back with Margaret Gray and Reverend David Castorini. Thank God he's on the show so he can, you know, get me to clean my language up so we're better positioned to promote the new Don't Wipe From Back to Front campaign that is now afoot in the United States to inform. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, okay, so it's all my. I'm the freak and you're Clark Kent. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Very unfair.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we are joined by Reverend David Castorini. We also have Margaret Gray, myself, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman. We're talking about the way that I put things on the show. There's some kind of a national health effort that I'm not aware of. And Margaret, I guess you are.
This is... it's not necessarily a national health effort. What it is just common sense.
Phil, if I could jump in, Phil, this is David Castorini.
Go ahead, Reverend.
I think Margaret's saying that this is just common sense. And when you say on your program, we're going to wipe up some things from last hour, or you use, and I know you don't mean that in an offensive way, Phil. I know you. I know that you're a good man and you don't mean to put things in a way that might be indelicate. But when you say we're going to wipe things up, you are putting into impressionable minds, and you're putting into the minds of young women that it might be, and you don't mean anything by this, but it might be knocking from their minds the very sensible thought of not wiping back to front.
And I refuse to believe that this is a national health crisis of some kind, okay?
I didn't say it was a crisis, Phil. I said it's good common sense.
So, me talking about wiping...
See, he raises his voice, too, Reverend. Do you notice this?
Phil, you don't need to raise your voice.
I'm not raising... I'm just going to... Me talking about wiping things up from last hour is somehow getting into the minds of impressionable young girls that they should wipe back the front... You know, I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
That's the problem, Phil. You don't want to talk about it because it's dirty to you. And we're talking about it from a health perspective. Let me give you the whole reason, if I could, Margaret.
Well, I just think he's missing the point.
Yeah, but let me give you the reason why I'm on the program, Phil, and why we've also got Jay Santos, who's come over here from Los Alamitos, and I've got Jay with me here in the Castorini Studios.
Where are you right now?
We're at our studios in Glendale.
Okay.
And I have with me Jay, and the reason why we brought Jay over here...
Well, it sounds like there's traffic.
Right, we're at the remote studio outside.
Okay.
The reason why I brought Jay over, you got any other questions?
Yeah, I know. He's always interrupting with questions.
Yeah. Do you have another question?
What is it with everybody being so sarcastic?
I'm not being sarcastic, but at some point I want to say what I want to say, you know.
Well, you better get used to getting interrupted here, David. I don't know if you'll ever get it out. And another thing.
So you got something to say, Phil?
You know, I'm going to kick both of you people off the air in about 5 seconds. What do you think about that?
That figures.
Well, Phil, I look, Margaret told me that you were having a problem.
I'm not having any problem. What problem have I got?
David will tell you.
That's the only reason I come on the program. And I asked Jay Santos. He had called me up about something unrelated. He wanted to know if I'd come down and counsel Don Berman, who apparently had vomited all over himself in the jail cell, and they had to get him into the hospital. They were afraid he was going to choke on his own vomit.
Don Berman almost choked on his own vomit.
Oh, my God.
No. Not almost. They were afraid he was going to. He laid down to sleep in the jail cell, and he puked. And they're afraid he's going to choke on his own vomit, so they put him in the hospital overnight.
Why would they? This is insane.
Oh, my God. Is he all right?
Yes, he's fine. He's fine. And I'm sorry, I made a bigger deal out of it than I should have, but he threw up when he was in his cell, and someone said, you know, we don't want to have another ham sandwich. And I said, well, are you talking about Mama Cass? He said, yeah. I said, because that wasn't a ham sandwich. He said, right, but that's the code we use.
They don't want to have another ham sandwich.
Yeah, they don't want, in other words, somebody choking on their own vomit.
Yeah, choking on your, especially among celebrities.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you have no respect, do you?
You know something? There's only so much weirdness I can take in one night. Don Berman choking on his own vomit, a national health effort to keep girls from wiping back to front, and now there's something wrong with me that you guys have still not gotten around to.
Well, Phil, I want to tell you about it.
Okay, then let's get to it.
All right. I mean, I got a call from Margaret, and I also, Jay Santos had mentioned this to me. Dr. Jim Sandler had mentioned it to me. That during on the video cast on Phil TV, and you know that we love you, Phil, and we're saying this to you out of love and out of respect, okay?
Yeah.
So please don't get defensive.
I can hear him getting defensive. He just went, yeah.
I'm not getting defensive. I'm getting impatient.
All right. Here it is. We have noticed on Phil TV during the breaks that you reach down and absentmindedly, and I want to emphasize absentmindedly so that you're not doing it on purpose. And this is where Margaret and I disagree.
Yeah, I do disagree. I think you are doing it on purpose.
I disagree with you, Margaret, and you have to be a man to understand this. But you are absentmindedly, Phil, reaching down, and we can tell by the tendons in your arms that your fingers are manipulating something. And I have to believe that you've got your hand down in your pants. And let me tell you why I brought that up. Margaret is afraid that there are impressionable young people watching the show. And people that might admire you and think that you are a great broadcaster, and we all do, Phil. But there you are, Phil Hendry, and you reaching down into your jeans, and you know, you're fooling around with it.
Are you trying to tell me?
Oh God, Phil! Don't give us the fake shock.
No, wait, just a minute. Are you saying what I think you're saying, that I'm somehow self-gratifying?
No. We're not saying that.
We're not saying that. We're saying that you're manipulating or otherwise shifting yourself around in your pants as a way of making the statement to the females, look how big I am.
Man, you got some kind of mind on you.
Here we go. This is where he indicts me.
Phil, you gotta see it both ways.
No. There's no both ways to see it. You got to have some kind of a weird brain to come up with that one, Margaret. You really do.
Did you or did you not once get caught on camera doing that, and you said, oh, excuse me, because I'm so big? Didn't you say that?
Yeah, I was kidding. I was joking.
Phil, come on, don't raise your voice.
Yeah, thank you very much, Reverend. Don't raise your voice to me, Phil.
I was joking. I was kidding. What do you think we do on this freaking show? If nothing else, we got to try to get a couple of laughs. Are you serious? Are you trying to tell me that I'm doing that so I can send some coded message to the... Oh, man, you got to be nuts.
Well, Phil, it's not really coded. I mean, if you look, and I suggest you go back and take a look at the video cast, you can see the tendons in the upper part of your arm. Those are controlled by the fingers manipulating. And it's like you're kind of shifting and going, oh, man, you know, I better get... I need to strap it down. I don't know.
I need to strap it down. You guys, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with you.
No, Phil, don't go down that road.
Now, come on, Phil, you can't start to indict our sanity.
No, there's something wrong with both of you. For you to come, and we did a whole half hour on this? I can't believe it.
Well, Jay Santos, is Jay there?
I'm right here, and I did.
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. And we've got other more serious stuff to talk about, too, okay?
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. With me is, right now, we have Jay Santos along with Reverend David Castorini from Castorini Remote Studios in Glendale, California. David's ministry is in Phoenix, Arizona. And we also have Jay Santos. Margaret Gray is here. We're talking about, was this a complaint from the staff, or was this something that was just simply, did we lose the line?
Yeah, call out for Matt. Yeah, hello? Person-to-person call for David Castorini. Yeah. Not a trunk call.
What do you mean, person-to-person, not a trunk call?
Well, Phil.
Yeah.
What's with this person-to-person?
What is it? He doesn't want to be found, right?
Yeah, we got it. Well, there's a certain security. Yeah, Reverend Castorini, yeah, we lost connection with you. No, I have not told people where you is. Right, but you already told everybody you was at the remote, but you're not really? Okay.
Hey, Reverend Castorini.
Yes, Phil.
So you're not really at your remote studio in Glendale?
Well, okay, did Bud...
Yeah, he just said that.
Well, why did you do that, Bud? I don't understand.
Because...
I got to tell you, I try so very hard to live God's message and to live Christ's message day to day in my life. But there are days when I find it hard to be charitable to God's retards. That's
see, that's not Christian at all.
I tell you, I told you, but please don't mention where I am.
He didn't mention where you were. He mentioned where you weren't.
All right, same difference. I don't like to have people knowing where I am for security reasons. All right, that's why I've got Jay Santos here. He handles a lot of security.
Let me talk to Jay. Jay, you there?
Yeah, Jay Santos, Phil.
Okay, what are you doing over there?
Well, Phil, I don't know if this your concern or beeswax. I'll tell him. Phil, Jay is here to do some security work for me because I feel that given the type of teachings of the youth ministry where we do have outreach, and we have outreach with our Castorini angels as well as our Castorini archangels. And the outreach that we do is of a loving kind.
Well, you're talking sex.
Well, that's your word. That's not mine. You use that word. I don't.
Okay, but it's sex, isn't it?
Well, again, I don't want to get into that. But because of the outreach that we use and because it has been with some women who have been married and my life has been threatened, let me take over from here, if you don't mind. Oh, this is Jay Santos, Phil. I don't want Reverend Castorini to be exposed any more than he already is. Now, you're aware of the fact that Reverend Castorini does a very unusual kind of Christian ministry that does involve outreach. And involves, when we say outreach, we're talking about a literal outreach and then an inreach.
Yeah, I understand what you mean, okay? And he can do any kind of unorthodox thing he wants to do. Just let me know what's up and what isn't up and what's, you know, because if Bud is blowing it by saying, well, you ain't here, you're somewhere else, then I need to know these things so I can tell Bud not to. And to be honest with you, Reverend, I don't even know why I'm talking to a guy like you who has this kind of very unusual reputation in the community.
Phil, I'm not trying to tell anybody how to live. I do a very unusual Christian outreach, which does develop along sexual lines. I'm not saying that I have sex with the women in my church. I'm simply saying it develops along sexual lines.
All right, what does that mean?
It develops along sexual lines. Phil, again, you're being kind of pushy and trying to get information. I told Reverend Castorini as long as he was under my care and supervision, Assistance Auxiliary Police, that we would not have nobody getting pushy or anything like that.
Okay, so let's talk then about something that I find laughable now. Since you have this outreach ministry that you call an outreach ministry that runs afoul of marriage vows.
No, Phil, it does not. That is the perception. Okay.
Well, you say that your ministry runs along sexual lines, that it's an outreach, ha-ha.
I didn't say ha-ha.
Okay, but that's... And you're hiding from husbands? Why are you hiding from husbands?
Let me answer that. Well, Jay wants to answer, but I want to say something. Let me answer it, though. All right, I'll let you answer, but I want to say something. All right, but let me answer. I said I'd let you answer. No, it's my phone. Phil, I want to answer that, and then I'll let you have it, Jay. I want to answer that, Phil. I do not have sex with any woman other than my own wife, Patsy, who I've known since I was 13, and I fell in love with her when I was 13. And we got married when we were young. I was 15 when we got married, and she just turned 11. And
all right, well, hold on for a minute. You were 13 and...
No, I said I was 15.
When you got married, you were 15, and she was how old?
I think I already told you, Phil.
How old was she?
I think I already told you.
Oh, boy, you... Okay.
Said she's 11. Tell him. All right, she was 11.
All right, that's minus 13 minus 4 is,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just take your time. Do, 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 do.
9 years old. So you met her when she was 9 and you fell in love with her at 9.
No, I fell in love with her when I was 13. She was 9. No, you're barking up a wrong tree. I've been hanging around with David Casserini a long time. He is very, very well versed in the Bible.
This ain't the Bible. All right, let's get back to what, because my mind is completely blown.
Well, Phil, when you're in the presence of a superior theologian, and I'm not saying that he's not unusual.
Yeah, Phil, I've never said that I'm a normal man. I've never said that I am normal in any sense. But I do my very, very best with what God gave me. My mind, my intellect, my body. I try to do the very, very best.
By having an outreach or whatever ministry where there's the hints of sex and... God knows what else, okay, and you're hiding from husbands.
I am hiding from husbands because there are husbands in this world, Phil, that are very sick spiritually, very sick spiritually. There are husbands in this world, not wives, husbands, who need God. God do they need God. They need God in so many different ways, in so many different areas. And they suspect me of befouling the females of their clan, and I have never laid a hand on any woman other than my wife, who I met, yeah, when she was 9 years old.
And you were 13.
Okay, that sounds good.
How old were you when you met her?
No comment.
So...
Let's get back to what... I want to get back to Phil. The reason why we're on a program, you want to do it? I don't want to do it, too. Let me kick it off, okay? I'll kick it off. All right, kick it off, then. Phil, I want to kick this off, and then Jay's going to take over. First of all, Phil, we had phone calls from Margaret. We had a phone call from a couple of females that said that you were reaching down and really doing some maneuvering. You were really shifting your weight, and it was very evident during commercial breaks, even though nothing could be seen by way of the camera.
Uh-huh.
Well, Phil, don't get angry, okay?
How can I not get angry? This is ridiculous.
Well, Phil, I think it needs to be brought up, you know. You know, we need to bring this up, and what we're... Give me the phone, Jay. I don't want to argue with you, Jay, about a phone. Now, I'm going to give this to Jay Sanders right now, otherwise... Get the phone. Get a phone. I'll give it to you in a minute. All I know, Phil, is I am trying to do God's will. And you're on Phil TV with your hand shoved down in your jeans, making a big show of having to. It's almost like you're trying to move large crates or big, boulders or something. Let me get this thing. This Jay Santos, Phil. I know you and I have talked many times.
Yeah.
All right. I got the call from Reverend Castorady. Margaret Gray also called in that you looked like you were struggling with something. And when I looked on Phil TV and I looked and all it was you reaching down in your slacks, I realized you're making a big deal out of it. You know, hey, look at it, you know. I'm like, you're moving large hoses or you're moving some tube, some underground sewer piping or something. And I thought at that time you were making a big deal out of it. How's you doing? That's yes or no?
No.
So you were not trying to make a big deal out of moving big, big equipment?
No. No, I wasn't.
Let me hear the phone. Here's Reverend Castrini. Phil, this is Reverend Castrini. So when I looked at Phil TV, after Margaret said to me that you were making a big display, an obscene display of reaching way down, deep, deep, deep into the gene, all right, that's J-E-A-N, okay?
Okay.
That you were making a display, as Margaret put it, of like a warehouse, like a guy working in a warehouse having to move stuff with a forklift. Not true?
No, that's not true.
Okay, Jay. Phil, this is Jay Sanders again, Phil. So were you at that time, and I guess it'll be my last question, and I'm not going to try to bother you no more. Were you at that time trying to make a big deal out of parking an airplane? Or
will you guys get serious, okay? No, 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 no. No, I wasn't.
Good God. Well, you know, you're yelling at me. I'm just trying to do my job here as Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yeah, you doing your job as a Citizens Auxiliary Policeman is essentially coming on my program and accusing me of some asinine moving equipment.
Well, what we heard was you're making a big, oh, wow, I better get down there. Look at that, man. I got to move on. This is going to be an all-day job, you know, like you're moving a piano or something. And all you're doing was reaching down in the front of your pants, you know.
All right, I can't continue here. Don't we have to break? Thank God, we're close to the break.
They're going to want to be back bun. Excuse me, they're going to want back bun. They're going to want to be back bun.
Will you spit it out, please?
They're going to win a beep. They're going to win a be back on.
They're going to want to be back on?
Yeah, what are you trying to say, man?
They're going to want to be back on.
Okay, if they're going to want to be back on, as my producer, you can tell them, Bud, no, you don't get to come back on until you start talking some sense.
Phil, I thought they were talking good sense. You made everything they said into something ridiculous.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. They're on here. Okay, Phil, at no time did you try to make it look like you were parking an airplane, moving equipment in a warehouse, moving large boulders, moving underground sewer piping. I mean, you know what? I don't know who started this.
Well, I was the one that first brought it up because you were making a big display of it.
I never did that when you were in the studio.
No, you didn't. While I was in the toilet, I saw it on the closed-circuit TV.
Oh, on the closed-circuit TV.
Well, Phil, it's right there in my face.
Yeah, you're sitting on a toilet all looking at it and everything.
So?
All right. Thank you very much, Margaret. Thank you very much, Reverend Castorini. Thank you very much, Jay Sanders. You've had a very busy night, Jay, from taking Don Berman to jail and making sure he doesn't strangle on his own puke to coming over to Reverend Castorini's church and talking to me about putting my hand in my pants during the breaks on Phil TV. It's been quite a night. We'll be right back with the world-famous Phil Henry Show after these very special announcements.
Truth is our bitch.
What sarcasm?
The Phil Henry Show.
Got some kind of very, very funny thing that our friend Trina made of me doing the Charleston. It's the I got to somehow get this up on Phil TV. It's the Charleston.
Well, that's very current.
No, it's just funny because it's like a giant. It's my head on some little guy with a striped suit. Anyway, thank you and welcome back to the broadcast here, folks. Phil TV in HD, and of course, we're available online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. That's the only way to enjoy the Phil Henry Show 150%, 200%, 250% by getting a backstage pass, watching the nightly video feed, listening to our archives, listening to our current show podcast, getting the behind the scenes as you watch the Phil TV pre-show, as we call it, Phil Central. And getting kind of soaking up the overall angst and weirdness and neurosis and borderline psychosis that is the Phil Henry Show. And I know after you've completed that sojourn, you'll be glad you did. Now, CPR more often prolongs seniors' suffering than saves lives. Dateline Bakersfield, California, a nurse is under scrutiny for refusing to perform CPR on an elderly woman, but life is not rescue 911. CPR performed on a mock patient. TV medical dramas have radically raised expectations of the success of CPR. In reality, it only works at best 30% of the time. And for the elderly, the rate of success is as low as 5%. In Bakersfield, an 87-year-old woman collapsed in a senior residence and was allowed to die by a nurse who was following company policy against staff performing cardiopulmonary resuscitation. In a recording of her 7-minute conversation with the 911 dispatcher, the nurse's effect was, to my ear, one of indifference. This is Paul C. McLean, who's a reporter. Unedited 911 recording showing a nurse's refusal to perform CPR. Not so the exasperated dispatcher, who perceived by phone that a life-saving opportunity was passing and pleaded with the nurse to resuscitate the woman or to get someone else to do it. But resuscitation was delayed until the ambulance arrived, and a short time later at the hospital, the woman was declared dead. This apparently plays out countless times on countless Cedar Citizens on that very same day. CPR was dutifully performed without regard for whether it might do more harm than good, followed by urgent races to the ER where holes were cut in throats to accommodate tubes, arteries were probed and accessed to provide antibiotics, fluids and perhaps opiates and ventilators were cranked up to deliver to elderly humans what they no longer were capable of accessing on their own, the breath of life. Except for a lucky few, roughly 1 in 5, these patients will not resume life as before. Just another heroic episode of CPR at the end of life. So apparently what this guy is saying is that in one instance, there was a nurse who refused to perform CPR because the company policy was against staff performing cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And why is that? Because sometimes cardiopulmonary resuscitation results in death.
What?
I know. So in other words, if they're elderly people... 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. If they're old enough, okay.
What about you?
Yes, what happens if you collapse?
What happens if I collapse what?
Well, not that you're elderly, but there can, you know.
If I collapse and I need CPR, go ahead and perform CPR, if you don't mind, okay? All right?
Well, it says that the...
I'm not elderly. I'm not 87. Am I 87? Let me tell you something. Right now, I can go out onto that beach, and all three of you, and you, Bud, are like 20, I could kick your asses in a race down to the jetty on that sand.
In a foot race.
What do you mean in a foot race? Yes, in a foot race. No, flying.
Well...
Yeah, I'd kick your ass, and you too, Robert, so don't give me this stuff about how old I am. You know, you gotta watch it. Sometimes when you want to open your big fat yap, sometimes, yeah, it's true. Sometimes, you know, not so true. Just because, you know, youth doesn't necessarily win out all the time. You open your mouth big enough, and there's some guys that are double your age are going to wind up kicking your ass. I've seen it happen. And you have, too. So don't tell me you haven't, okay?
Well, what about the guy that got dropped on his head?
The guy that got dropped on it, that old guy that got dropped on his head in Orlando?
Yeah, what about him?
He got dropped on his head by a cop. What are you talking about? He got dropped on his head by a cop. He was dumb enough to go after a cop. The point that is being made by this article is that CPR apparently can, you know, end a senior citizen's life. And so there's some companies that don't want their nurses to perform it. But if they don't perform it, someone dies, like the lady that just died there in Bakersfield. We want to die at home, but increasingly we die in hospitals. We want good deaths. We tell pollsters this all the time, but we seem to want only the good part, not the death part. What? We fear death. We fear everything about it. Pain, grief, lawsuits, God's judgment. Our fear is systemic, undermining everything from dialogue between doctor and family to a patient's determination of what is best for a loved one existing in a term. You know, this whole thing is that, you know, whatever is going to jeopardize your life, don't do it. And sometimes it's CPR. But then again, if you don't have CPR, then you die. I don't know. You know, I mean, I personally, this is just my philosophy. There comes a time when you just, you know, you're going to croak, man. I mean, I don't need to have, I personally don't want to be alive on a ventilator or like those people that you see.
My God, Phil, so you don't respect the gift of life that God gave you.
Of course I do. Of course I do. But what's the point of me laying there, you know, in the words of Commander Kor of the Klingon Empire, like a hopeless vegetable?
You're using John Calicus's great great portrayal of Commander Kor and mocking it by saying vegetable.
John Calicus is... I didn't even know who the actor was.
Yeah, I think that's who it was.
Yes, I'm saying vegetable. And I'm saying I don't want to lay there in a, you know...
You don't want to lay there in a hopeless vegetable state, do you?
Okay, enough with the vegetable thing, okay? I get the joke, all right?
Well, it was Commander Kor, wasn't it?
Who cares it was Commander Kor? We're talking about... Commander Kor. Forget it. Who cares what we're talking about? I don't care. Go ahead, do whatever you want, okay?
All right, you're saying whatever I want? Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take all the old people, turn them into hopeless vegetables, and,
get out of here. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, on the eve of city council hearings in the city of Chicago, they want to ban energy drinks. How about that? They're going to ban energy drinks? No way, man. Over my dead, used to be over my dead body. Now I don't care. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.